Estás escuchando en el 101.9 FM, el show de Leo Ramírez.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9. As always, we'd like to take this moment to thank the Musqueam people for housing us here at CITR on their ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory. And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. With your host, Nico McEwen. Hey there, everybody. You are listening to another episode of Finding the Funny here, and today's episode is The Stand-Ups. For any of you that don't know, The Stand-Ups is a new Netflix series. That's right, it is essentially a TV series strictly with stand-up comedy, a very exciting platform for stand-up comedians who maybe don't have the recognition or maybe just don't have enough material for an entire special. These are just 30-minute episodes of the stand-ups performing. When I first saw this show, one of the things I was most excited about was the fact that it addresses that stand-up comedy is somewhat at a peak right now with the high demand for entertainment and the kind of stressed-out world we live in. I feel like a strict half-hour of just funny jokes is something that is definitely going to be a success, fingers crossed, on Netflix. Right now, they only have 6 episodes, and I'm not sure if they've been picked up for more, but I can't see why not. For today's episode, I will be playing clips from the first 3 episodes of The Stand-Ups, partially because I really like the way that the producers of the show have formatted the episodes, with the fact that they start off with Nate Bargatze, who is kind of the most relatable out of the comedians on The Stand-Ups series, so it's a nice way to ease into the series. And then after that, Fortune Feimster, who is one of their more well-known people, you may have seen her on The Mindy Project, but she has a really, really different style than Nate Bargatze, but also super funny. And then on to Dion Cole. And Dion Cole, who I love from Black-ish, I actually tried to start watching the series with. And when I saw what he was doing in the stand-up special, I wasn't super enthused about it. So I actually stopped his and went to episode 1 to kind of get more into the rhythm. Just because Dion Cole's special on the stand-ups isn't very conventional. Fans listening right now, we are going to take this moment for a content warning.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, this is Nate Bargatze.
I took social media off my phone. I have Instagram still on there. I feel like it's still okay. It's like, it's safe. Twitter's like, I feel like it's just like celebrities telling you you're the worst. That's all it is, all day. Whether it's like the presidential election, everybody's furious. And then there's a big pipeline thing. Remember that? They're like, we got to stop this pipeline. We're like, yeah, we do. I don't even know where this is at. I couldn't find it. I don't know what was in the pipe. I don't know if the pipe was above ground, but it was like, we got to stop. People have stuff there, and you can't be throwing pipes. You can't just throw pipes everywhere you want to throw pipes, you know? And it just... I follow Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, I'm a big fan, just want to see what that guy's life is like. He tweets nothing fun out, I've learned that. He tweeted out 100 million sharks get killed a year by people. Just threw that up. No solution. I'm just at home in Tennessee, nowhere near an ocean. so many sharks. I don't even, if you told me to guess how many sharks were alive, I would never have guessed 100 million. I don't know, a million? I don't know. Like, who knows how many sharks there are? I tweeted back, I was like, all right, dude, I won't kill any sharks. I won't, I don't know. Is that what you wanted out of this? I won't do it. I've never even been near a situation where I thought I might have to kill this shark. Never even met a guy that's pet a shark, but I'm not getting involved now. Facebook is more, that's your like friends telling you you're the worst. It's more local. No one has a good day on Facebook. It's everybody's worst days of their lives. And you'll be like the first thing you look at. You'll like wake up and you like cut it on and then just be like, do you want to see a murder video? You're like, I don't at all. I just woke up. I'm just trying to see whose birthday it is, you know? And they're just like, well, we already started playing it. So, and you're like, all right, I guess I'll watch that. My wife gets mad because I don't like any of her photos. She's like, why don't you like any of my photos, you know? And it's like, is this not enough, us living together and stuff? I don't, and I did like it. When we took it, I said I like it. I told you I like it. I looked at it, I'm in it. I'm in the photo. There's not much more I can do with this photo. We've been together my entire life. We started dating when I was like 21. I'm 37 now. And like I went from like my mom to her. So I don't even know what it feels like to not have some lady be like, I don't know if I would do that, you know. And now we have a daughter, so I'll never know. I'll never know. We get in fights, you know, still. And when you're married for a long time, fighting is just, it can happen. It's open 24 hours, basically, at any time. We got in a fight recently at 3 a.m. We woke up to get in this fight. We have a dog, and our dog, like, freaks out when it thunders. And so we have sedatives to give her because there's only so many times you can tell a dog it's just thunder before you're like, she's not getting it, you know. And you're like, just take this, all right? So I woke up, I had to wake my wife up, and I was like, hey, where are the sedatives at? And she was like, they're at the top of the cabinet. So I go get them, I looked at the bottle, and the bottle said they were expired. So I had to wake my wife back up, and I was like, hey, these say they're expired. And she was like annoyed. She was like, they're not expired, all right? They're new pills in an old pill bottle. And I was like, all right, I should have thought of that. You know, that's my fault. I mean, we have people come to our house all the time and they get milk and they're like, is this milk expired? And I have to go, that's new milk in an old milk jug. Are you the stupidest person I've ever met? Why would you not assume that's what it is? That's roughly what I told her. It wasn't as fun as that. But, and then she goes all in and tells me it doesn't matter because dog medicine can't even expire, which I was like, you've never even heard a rumor about that. You don't know that. We don't know any dog medicine people. I know who she knows. We don't know one dog medicine maker that's texting her like, hey, we're doing some pretty big things at the dog medicine factory. I wanted to let you know first, but we've invented medicine that can't expire. So feel free to tell your husband at 3 a.m.
So that was Nate Bargatze in episode 1 of the stand-ups. And as you can see about how I was talking regarding relatability, like just so easily accessible with his stand-up comedy. He's just telling the most basic details of the most hilarious stuff. He talks about social media, relationships, a dog being afraid of thunder. Like it can't get any more accessible, I think. Like, obviously, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. For this first episode of a TV series called The Stand-Ups, I think this is one of the safest approaches because you're definitely going to get a lot of different areas of entertainment fans with this first comedian, which is why I wanted to talk about him in the sense that he was used, I think, specifically by the producers of The Stand-Ups to be that guy that is going to bring a lot of binge watchers to the next episodes. Also, I want to take this moment just to recognize Nate's delivery It's super dry, it's super funny, and I think for a lot of aspiring stand-ups, it is an approach that may seem nerve-wracking because often having lots of energy will result in good reactions, or to a certain extent, being big and being a showman is a great, great approach for entertainment, and I'm not dissing that in any way, but obviously there's a lot of very well-known stand-ups, Nate being one of them, who are honestly just people talking into a microphone, and that works too super well. So I just want any stand-up possibles out there to recognize this as a really awesome style of comedy. As we reach the 10-minute mark of the episode, that'll do it for our commentary on Nate. Please stay tuned for more Finding the Funny right after an ad from our sponsors.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Hey, 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 everybody. We are back with more Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9, and we want to do a shout-out to our social media. You can find us at Finding the Funny on Twitter. Check out all the awesome things we'll be posting, whether it be certain stand-up comedy things going on in Vancouver, or maybe it's just about our upcoming episodes, or maybe we want to hear from you, the fans, about what you think about the episodes, and we'll talk about it in further episodes. Any of this is possible. Just check us out at Finding the Funny on Twitter. Now let's get right back to the clips. As you know, today's episode is about the Stand-Ups Netflix special, and I was so glad when I saw episode number 2 was Fortune Feimster, the hilarious stand-up comic out of North Carolina. Fortune was on Last Comic Standing in 2010, and then had appearances on Chelsea Lately, Two Broke Girls, Workaholics, Mulaney, Glee, and probably most notably, she can be seen as Colette in The Mindy Project. So without further ado, please enjoy Fortune Feimster.
There's only been one time in my entire life where it was difficult to be gay. Only one time. And that was when the gay community declared war against Chick-fil-A. Oh my God. Oh, that was a dark day, you guys. Because here's the deal, people. I'm fat first, lesbian second. That's the order. And the gay community, they sent out a bat signal. They said we couldn't eat at Chick-fil-A anymore because there were some like anti-gay people up top. And I was like, no! No! Please, God, no! Come on, no, their chicken doesn't taste like it hates gay people. Their chicken tastes very gay friendly. Come on, pick Subway. Oh, I mean, just the name, Chick-fil-A. It sounds like a French lesbian bar. Why would I not want to go there? You guys, come on. I mean, don't ruin these restaurants for me. What are you gonna tell me next? That Cracker Barrel is full of racists? Come on! You can take away my rights. Don't take away my biscuits! Because it's a long road to equality. I don't want to be hungry on the way, guys. Mm-mm. I don't. Oh, I love food. You're like, what? Wait, what? I'm shocked. You look like someone that likes to ride a bike a lot. No, I want to be healthier. My friend gave me a Fitbit, and I don't have the energy to put it on, so... I just keep thinking a lot about tater tots. I love tater tots. Right? Yeah, I love tater tots. I am just so grateful that restaurants are serving tater tots now, because it used to be, in order to get tater tots, you had to go to an elementary school. Which is, like, so awkward when you're in your 30s in line behind a bunch of 8-year-olds just holding a tray. They're like, ma'am, you're going to need to stand 30 feet away from this school. I'm like, but do I get them tots? Which only makes me sound creepier. To be in an elementary school yelling, I want them tots! I worked around it, you guys. Now I date a kindergarten teacher. So, ha ha! Ha! Gotcha! I gotcha, tater tots.
So I actually am going to play one more clip from Fortune Feimster's time on the stand-ups in this 30-minute episode. Basically, a thing I loved about that first clip that I played was just kind of the different take on, I guess, gay rights or what it is like to live as a gay individual, just because I thought it was really, really clever. The kind of I'm fat first, gay second, I thought that was a really, really intriguing take, and obviously a really funny bit with Chick-fil-A and how she plays with the name of it and all that good stuff. So in general, just like, it's a really solid piece of writing through and throughout in that entire clip, so I really wanted to play it. But this next clip I want to play, and I want to make sure everybody listening understands that this does involve some vulgar language and subject matter, so if you or anyone around you may be offended or put off by this, please tune out of this program and tune into a later one. Basically, in this bit, Fortune is talking about her first and only time seeing a penis.
Yeah, I only touched a penis once. I was in high school, and it was with a neighbor. It's not like a creepy neighbor. No, we were the same age in high school. We played Nintendo every day after school. It was true love. We would play Super Mario Brothers, and I was Mario, he was Luigi. And because of him, I was able to get through the Mushroom Kingdom. Then one day he asked me to touch his mushroom. Yeah, he wanted me to put the controller down and give him a handy J. And I thought, well, he scratched my back. I'm going to give him a hand job, because that's how life works, people. You get, you give, you get, you give. But I thought we were going to, like, work up to it, you know what I mean? I thought we were going to, like, start with a handshake or a high five, a hug, I don't know, braid each other's hair. That's what I'm used to. But he just whipped it out. He just whipped it out, and I was like, oh, It's so gross, like purple, just like, just like hanging there, And it, like, I mean, I didn't know what to do with it. You're supposed to, that's like an elevator that you're supposed to make go up. And so I'm poking it like an elevator button. I'm poking it, nothing's happening. He's like, you gotta put it in your hand. And so I took that very literally and I just grabbed it, I was like in a trance. I just grabbed it like it was a hot clarinet. Like a hot clarinet. This guy looks very uncomfortable. Yeah, he was mortified. That's when I realized I was a lesbian. I went to school the next day. He had told everybody that I'd given him a very aggressive, intense hand job. I'm like, that's a very specific review. What is this, Yelp? I was embarrassed, and I was like, you should be embarrassed. It's your penis that turned me gay. You did that. That's on you.
So this is something I loved just because of how extremely personal it is. I honestly haven't heard a lot of stand-up bits about lesbians' first time touching a penis and thus turning, or not turning into a lesbian, but you know what I mean. How she phrased it at the end was that essentially that boy had done it. It's just so, so funny, and something that isn't in a lot of stand-up because it's so specific for certain individuals. So the fact that Fortune was able to turn it into this really nicely crafted bit, obviously the mushroom joke and whatnot, a lot of nice additions in there. But yeah, I just wanted to appreciate the fact of how honestly being really emotionally truthful and drawing from very real life situations, obviously this probably has differences in the real life situation, but you know what I mean, being able to kind of put yourself in those circumstances again is something that is really awesome for stand-up, but also extremely difficult to turn into a stand-up routine because they're often harder to think of in a funny way or to change around. I could talk about the genius writing throughout the entire special, and this is something that, not to take away from Nate's genius writing, Nate's really awesome too, but for Nate, my favorite thing is his relatability and his delivery. With Fortune, it's the specificity of detail. So just two different aspects of two different comedians, and something that I think that the stand-ups uses really well is the fact that the first three episodes are all entirely different stand-up comedians, and that takes us into our next comedian. But before we can play him, we will have another ad from our sponsors.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Hey, everybody, we are back with Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9. That was just a quick ad from our sponsors. And at this point of the episode, we just want to talk about some things happening in Vancouver regarding today's episode, which is all about stand-up comedy. As this is being aired on Monday, some of the recent stuff to happen in comedy include the Comedy Bucket. That's right, this is a performance of audience suggestions pulled from a bucket where stand-ups make up the material on the spot, and that just happened this last Saturday, October 21st at 10 p.m. at Little Mountain Gallery, and truly an awesome, awesome show. And there's so much other great stuff coming up in November for stand-up comedy. John Mulaney is here. I'm really excited. I'm going to see John Mulaney, and I'll be talking about his show in the episode following that performance. Ron Funches is here right now. So there's a lot of great comics in the area, so make sure you're checking out all of Vancouver stand-up comedy posts on Facebook and whatever you can find on Ticketmaster. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is that point of the episode, our final clip of the day. It's been so awesome being able to play the stand-ups on this episode of Finding the Funny, and our final comedian is Dion Cole. In the episode, he's actually holding a piece of paper as if that is how he's laying off all of these jokes in almost like a workout room style format, and it didn't grow on me at first, but after a while I really started appreciating the way he was delivering it, utilizing the list as a tool. So please enjoy Dion Cole with the stand-ups.
What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to try out some jokes. You know, do some jokes. Hopefully they work, and if they don't, then I'll never see y'all again, so it don't matter. Also, I only wrote black material. White people, I didn't know y'all was coming. So just sit there and take that shit. So I was eating dinner with these white devils last week. All right, I won't do those jokes. Caitlyn Jenner, they put this person on a pedestal, and they call her a hero. Now, me personally, I refuse to call her a hero. I'm not going to put her in the same category as 9/11 firefighters. But I do give her this. She is brave, and she is inspiring. I do believe that. She is very brave and very inspiring. It's inspired millions of people, and I give her that. But I just don't think that this is a hero. I don't put her in that category. And they celebrating her and putting on magazines and all this shit. Well, hell, if we going to celebrate her, why didn't we celebrate Chaz Bono? You know why? Because I think America only wants you to believe that you celebrate it when you go from man to woman and not woman to man, and that's discriminative within itself. And mind you, while you celebrating your hero, this person killed someone. Remember this? Car accident, ran right into the motherfucker and killed them. And this is your hero? Ain't no hero of mine up against one count of vehicular used to be a manslaughter. If somebody call you at midnight, they want to fuck. If they call you at 3 a.m., you were their last choice. I don't trust no man whose shorts are above his knee. I apologize. That was a direct attack against white men. I like when I did that joke, white man was like, what the fuck is wrong with that? What's... I don't have time to fuck around. I work a lot. I got math and jobs. So when it comes to meeting women, I can't be bullshitting. I get straight to the point. I can't be wasting time, you know? Just don't like around. Like if I'm in a club and I see a group of women together, I walk up to all of them and be like, hey, how y'all doing? I just wanted to know, who like me? I'm gonna let y'all discuss that, and I'm gonna come back with a drink for the winner. I don't have no time to be like, where you go to school at, and what you do for a living, and where you live at. Fuck that. Who like me? Because that's who I'm going to like the fuck back. Usually when a comedian leave, they leave on a real big joke at the end. I can't find that joke. So I'm just going to go.
So ladies and gentlemen, Finding the Funny fans, that will be the last clip for today's episode here on Finding the Funny. That last comedian was Dion Cole, and as you can see, a very unorthodox approach to this. One that I think had they been put in the first episode, it would have really screwed over the rest of the show for continued viewership because of when it fits in after two really strong comedians in